Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Kaiju Carnage. I am your host, Cal the Kaiju Guy. So, what's up, everyone? I hope everybody's having a good morning this morning. Per the usual, if you guys hear any background noise, my dogs are out and about and sitting right next to me and all of that, and so they're moving around and all that stuff. But sorry that this episode is being posted later than usual. One of my friends contacted me this morning, and they were having some vehicle issues, and so I had to take some time to deal with that. But here we are, and we're going to be talking about the final entry in the Godzilla anime trilogy called Godzilla the Planet Eater that came out through Polygon Pictures. Now, I've been kind of avoiding talking about this one for a while because it is my least favorite of the anime trilogy. You know, I remember whenever I was first watching the anime trilogy, and I watched Planet of Monsters, and I was really... I pretty much binged all three movies at one whack because I did not have Netflix at the time or anything, and like all three films had already come out by the time I did get Netflix, and so I was like, okay, let's watch these, let's check them out. And so I watched Planet of Monsters, and I really enjoyed it and still enjoy it to this day. I enjoy the first film in this trilogy. Was pumped, was ready, all right, let's move on, let's check out the next one. Then watched City on the Edge of Battle. Didn't really have a high opinion of it at the time. Rewatching it, I have a higher opinion of it. Like, okay, this one isn't bad as I remembered it being. It's better. It's better than I gave it credit for. And then there was this one that was originally like my least favorite film in this anime trilogy. And I've watched it this morning, and it's still on currently. There's only about another 20 minutes left on it, and I've got it on mute. Mothra just made her grand appearance and all that. But my opinion on this film has not changed. I'm still not a fan of it. Not crazy about it. No, not at all. More than anything, and I'll talk more about this, you know, towards the end of the episode. More than anything, I view this film as a missed opportunity for Toho. And I specifically say Toho because Toho had a lot to do with how this trilogy played out the way that it played out. And yeah, I'll get to that later on. Unfortunately, just like I said with City on the Edge of Battle, there's not a whole lot of production stuff to really talk about with this one because it's done strictly with like animation and CGI and all that kind of stuff. And you know, it's not like I could talk about, well, this happened on set and this malfunction happened here. You know, like I can't talk about that whenever it comes to an anime series and all that. So, moving forward, you know, because I still have yet to cover Pacific Rim the Black. Instead of covering like season one is one episode and then like season two is another episode, I will cover both seasons as a whole. And all that, since, you know, because it was extremely difficult for me doing this trilogy, breaking it up the way that I did it, just simply because it is an anime trilogy. There's not a whole lot differences, like, production-wise and everything that happened. I mean, you know, every single episode, I'm like, it was done by Polygon Pictures, and these people were the directors, and, you know, like, like... It's kind of hard to talk about where the inspiration for the film came from because I talked about it in a previous episode and all that, you know? So, yeah, I've been kind of hesitant to do this one because I knew I wasn't going to have much of an episode to do. And I do not. I do not have much of an episode to do. So this is going to double. I'm just going to very briefly talk about one or two things concerning this film. And then I'm going to talk about, like, my overall reception to the anime trilogy as a whole, what I liked about it, what I didn't like about it, and all that stuff. So, the directors of this, it's the returning directors of Kōbun Shizuno and Hiroyuki Seshitu. We'll go with that. That sounds pretty good. Seshitu. And, yeah, just keep in mind, you know, like, I'm not very good with pronunciations and all that kind of stuff, so forgive me if I butchered those names. But they are the co-directors, and they returned for this film. And the main antagonist of this film is none other than my favorite Toho kaiju in King Ghidorah. Though he's really just referred to as Ghidorah in this. And this is my least favorite incarnation of Ghidorah. Like, I would go as far as to say this might be the only version of Ghidorah that I just flat out don't like. And I'm going to talk more about that with the missed opportunity towards the end of the episode. But this particular version of Ghidorah, by the way, my information that I got for this episode comes from the official guide to the King of the Monsters, or Godzilla, the official guide to the King of the Monsters that came out like a year and a half, 2 years ago. It's a red cover. It's got Shin Godzilla on the cover and all of that kind of stuff. I got a chunk of my information from there, as well as an interview that I read with the directors of the film, as well as some other people that were attached with the film and all of that. And I got some information from one of my favorite kaiju websites that there is, WikiZilla. So, Ghidorah was inspired for this movie, just like we all know that Godzilla Earth was inspired by plants for this trilogy. His body is very tree-like, like his skin is very much like bark from a tree. His dorsals very much resemble leaves from a tree and all that kind of stuff. So he was very heavily inspired by plants. In turn, Ghidorah was inspired by plants. But where Godzilla was inspired by, you know, trees and stuff like that, Ghidorah was inspired by roses as well as just other plants that have thorns on them. And you can see that in his design, like whenever his long necks come down out of the dimensional portals and all that kind of stuff, his necks kind of very much resemble vines, and there's little jagged spikes that's coming out of all of his pretty much from all over his body and all that kind of stuff, and so it can be viewed as being thorns and all of that. So that was pretty much the inspiration for Ghidorah. And they came up with a very rough sketch of Ghidorah. One of the directors did. And whenever he was coming up with a rough sketch of it, he took into account the plant designs, but he also wanted lightning to be like an inspiration, like a visual inspiration for Ghidorah in this film. So roses, and specifically plants that have thorns, as well as lightning, was the main inspiration for the design and appearance of this version of King Ghidorah. And that's pretty much all I've got to say about King Ghidorah, as far as like his design goes and everything. His face, I've never been a big fan of his face, his mouth, the way his mouth looks or anything like that. I'm just, ugh. You know, I just, no. I'm not crazy. It's weird, you know, like whenever you sit there and look at, like, you know, Godzilla versus King Ghidorah is such a, they're the rivals of the Godzilla franchise. Like, 9 times out of 10, whenever someone mentions, like, who was Godzilla's mortal enemy? Who is his biggest, baddest guy that he goes up against? 9 times out of 10, King Ghidorah is going to be that answer. And it's just, it's very odd to me that in this film that was supposed to be like a climax to the trilogy and all of that kind of stuff, and you have one of my favorite incarnations of Godzilla in Godzilla Earth. I've talked about numerous times that Godzilla Earth is easily one of my favorite all-time designs for Godzilla. And I'm going to do an episode one day on the different various designs of Godzilla that we've seen over the years and all that stuff. And I'm definitely going to have some things to say about Godzilla in, I mean, this particular Godzilla in that. But, yeah, there was an interview, you know, for people that wonder, if you've ever wondered, like myself, whenever I first watched this trilogy, and you would sit there and think, what the heck were they thinking? What was Toho thinking in all of that with making the drastic changes like they did? And I have an answer for that, because there was an interview that was done with the co-directors of the film, and they shed some light on some things as to why certain decisions were made. First of all, the main director of the film had never even seen the original Gojira that was done by Ishiro Honda. And he was actually told not to watch it because Toho wanted to go in a different direction. Yes, Toho are the ones that made the decisions, the drastic changes to this. The co-directors wanted to make their own changes. They wanted to make like a completely new original design for Big G. They wanted to, you know, like have like a lot of the science-based stuff and everything, and like giving Godzilla Earth kind of an external shield, and the biology of like how his atomic breath works and all of that. That all came from them. One of the main complaints about this trilogy was the severe lack of kaiju fights. Because I talked about this whenever I did my Godzilla Singular Point episode. And, you know, that a lot of that episode was me complaining about a lot of the missed opportunities that they made in that show. And one of the biggest missed opportunities of Godzilla Singular Point, in my opinion, was not the various changes that they made. I liked a lot of the changes that they made. The design for Anguirus was very, very good, though I do wish that they would have upsized Anguirus to actually be kaiju-sized and all of that in there, and I wish that he wouldn't have died as quickly as he did. But Rodan had a decent design. Jet Jaguar, you know, going up on the Showa era, and Godzilla vs. Megalon being one of my childhood Godzilla films and all of that stuff, like, it was a stretch to see to see a massively different Jet Jaguar like that. But overall, you know, I was kind of like, I can deal with it. Like, I'm okay with the overall design. I can't remember how I felt about it, like, in the moment and all of that. But today, looking back, and I have watched a few episodes of Godzilla Singular Point since doing that episode, I'm still not crazy about the series, but it is better than, you know, my initial thoughts on it and all of that. And so, yeah, like, I have a little bit better of an appreciation for it. But there's one thing about Godzilla Singular Point that I'm never going to be able to get over, and that was simply the severe lack of Godzilla. It made absolutely zero sense to me that you're going to do a complete anime season of Godzilla, and then by the time it's all said and done, when Godzilla makes his grand appearance, it's literally at the very end of the season. And I'll be generous and say that Godzilla has 4 minutes of screen time in an entire season of a show that's called Godzilla, singular point, and you regulate that to 4 minutes of screen time? Yeah. But I can't really remember where I was going with that point. But, the changes that they decided to make. So not all changes are bad. I liked a lot of the changes that they made in Godzilla Singular Point. But, and a lot of the changes in this anime trilogy isn't terrible. This trilogy, I believe, suffered, the biggest suffering that it had was, it's like it would constantly build something up as if like something big and massive was about to happen. And that big and massive thing would never come. And whenever it would be so anticlimactic. It was ridiculous. City on the Edge of Battle is a good example of that, to where, like, you know, Mechagodzilla has expanded to where he's essentially become an entire city. And so you sit there and think, like, okay, well, there's going to be a pretty big battle of Godzilla, you know, whenever he's coming towards the city, there's going to be a pretty big battle between him and Mechagodzilla. And then the big, massive battle never really comes, and it's over very, very quickly. And originally, in this interview that I was talking about, Toho, like, the original plan, like, they specifically mentioned City on the Edge of Battle with Mechagodzilla. Like, the initial plan was they were going to have about a 30-minute fight between Godzilla and a pretty traditional-looking Mechagodzilla. And according to the director of the film, it was going to be about 30 minutes. And said it was going to be Godzilla firing his atomic breath, Mechagodzilla firing missiles, and like these two duking it out and all that. That was going to be the original plan. Unless I misinterpreted the interview, that's what I gather was going to be the initial plan. Toho then came out and said, no, we do not want any monster wrestling. And they say monster wrestling because a lot of the, starting with King Kong versus Godzilla in 1962, the way the kaiju would fight each other was very heavily based on professional wrestling. And that's why you see like Godzilla and various other monsters doing like these big slams and hip tosses and drop kicks and, you know, the various times that a kaiju has been grabbed by their tail and flipped over. You know, it's very theatrical. It's very over the top, very similar to professional wrestling. And Toho came out and said, we do not want any monster wrestling in this trilogy. So the director's hands are now tied, and they have to abide by that rule. And they had to change things for City on the Edge of Battle, and that's why we ended up getting the climax that we did for City on the Edge of Battle. Now, fast forward to this film. When I initially watched City on the Edge of Battle, I was kind of, I'm not thrilled about it. I was expecting to see like a good fight between Mechagodzilla and Godzilla. Didn't get that. During like the end part, the teaser for this film, whenever it goes back to, you know, when Homeboy whispers into the other one's ear, that was a scene earlier, but we didn't get to hear what was whispered into Haruo's ear. And then at the end of the film, we get the teaser, and we see that the whisper was Ghidorah. And you're immediately like, holy mackerel, here we go. This crazy, powerful, overpowered, massive version of Godzilla is about to go up against King Ghidorah. Like, cannot wait to see what this is going to do. Cannot wait to see what this is going to be like. I'm pumped. I'm ready. Let's do it. Then you watch the movie. And they hype Ghidorah up like there's no tomorrow. Here comes Ghidorah. You see silhouettes of him. And he looks very much like a traditional Ghidorah in the silhouettes, like whenever he's flying towards the screen. You see his three heads, his three necks, the wings, the tails. Like, you see it. You see it in the silhouettes. And you're thinking, he's going to look very much like a traditional Ghidorah, but a updated Ghidorah in the style of this anime trilogy. And then Ghidorah makes his grand appearance through a singularity, a wormhole, if you will, and one neck just starts coming out, and it gets longer and longer and longer, and it just starts wrapping around, you know, the ship, and it ends up destroying the ship. And the first time I saw that, I was like, that doesn't look anything like the silhouette that they've showed like three times already. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe that's just a power that he has. Maybe he can elongate his neck or something like that. You know, who knows? Maybe it'll improve whenever the actual battle begins between him and Godzilla. And then he starts to come to Earth. The different wormholes open up. And one head starts to come out. And it's even longer than it was before. And then that's whenever the hype begins. You see Godzilla slowly turning. His dorsals are glowing. The music is starting to amp up and all that kind of stuff. Like, okay, here we go. Like, the battle is about to begin. Fires his atomic breath. The beam curves. Doesn't even touch Ghidorah. Like, okay, here we go. He's going to have to overcome this. Ghidorah comes, clamps onto him. Godzilla can't even touch him. Like, he's trying to swing his arm, hitting him. It's just passing right through. The other two heads come out. You know, they latch Holt and everything. And so I'm sitting there like, okay. Like, in my brain, I was like, the three heads are going to come. They're going to latch Holt to Godzilla. The rest of his body is going to come out. And somehow he's going to overcome this and the battle is going to begin. You know what I mean? And then that never happened. They just grabbed him, started draining him of his energy, and then it was the humans that bailed out Godzilla. And that's why, you know, keeping up with the record, that I'll tell anybody that Godzilla does not hold a single one-on-one victory over Ghidorah without outside interference from another kaiju or humans helping him out. And so I was like, okay, they're keeping up with that tradition. Because Godzilla was beaten. He was beaten. He was done. He was going to die in this moment if help had not intervened. And so Godzilla finally gets to where he can attack him physically. You see, like, okay, so now the battle is about to get started. Here we go. He pops one neck, you know, hits it with his tail. It disappears. There's two heads left. Immediately, I'm sitting there like, they can't be seriously doing this. Then he rips the jaw off of one. It disappears. There's only one head left. Okay. Really? Is this how this is going to go? The other head starts to retreat. Godzilla fires his atomic breath, destroys it. Battle's over. And I remember just sitting there watching it and was just like, that's how they're going to handle a battle between Godzilla and King Ghidorah. And at the time, I did not know that Toho did not want monsters fighting each other, you know. If I would have known that going into this trilogy, I probably would have a different outlook on the trilogy. And knowing that now, I tend to have a different outlook on the trilogy. I've always enjoyed the first one. The second one, you know, knowing that the director's hands were tied and they couldn't do a battle and all that kind of stuff, I enjoyed the second one a little bit more. This one I'm still just not crazy about, because I believe that there was hype after hype after hype leading up to this big climactic battle between Godzilla and Ghidorah, and we barely got nothing. And yeah. Also, like, in that interview, it was discussed that Toho, the reason why Toho made the decisions that they made was because they were trying to aim at a new demographic with this trilogy. Specifically, believe it or not, they were trying to aim at women. Again, I apologize if I just misread the interpretation of the interview, but this is what I gathered from it. They wanted to appeal more to women in the same regard as Godzilla vs. Mothra, the Battle for Earth of the Heisei era. And I believe, this is just my own personal opinion, and I'm not trying to sound ugly whenever I say this. We all know that one girl in our lives that worships anime. All right? I mean, anime is just like the bee's knees for her. It's borderline become her personality. You know, I know a few that's like that. Every ounce of clothing that they have is some kind of anime something. DBZ, Naruto, Demon Hunter, you know, Bleach, something like that. Like, it's something anime related. And, you know, you ask them, like, hey, what kind of TV shows do you watch? Anime! Well, which ones specifically? Anime! It's just anime. That's just what they like. That's just what they want to watch and all that, you know? And so it's like, okay. More power to you. People are into what they want to be into. It's okay, no big deal. I think that was the demographic that Toho was going for. It's just my opinion. They wanted to try and loop in those girls that are crazy about anime and wanted to try and loop them into this. The only problem is there's such an established history of the Godzilla franchise of it's just monsters fighting each other. Or it's just monsters wrestling. Professional wrestling with kaiju, you know? Like I believe that they wanted to try and break away with that so that they could get that new demographic. And they kind of succeeded, to be honest with you. I'm not crazy about this trilogy, but there are people out there that legitimately love this trilogy that I've spoken to, other fans, other listeners, that whenever they start talking about this trilogy and all that, that they're like, man, I love that trilogy. I love all three films. It's great. And more power to you if you like it. This trilogy, to me, is the equivalent of a Toho version of the 1998 Godzilla. There are people out there that despise the 1998 Godzilla because of the changes, because of the differences and all of that. And there are people like me that have loved it from the get-go, despite the changes that were made. And I believe that this trilogy is kind of in that same category. They made so many drastic changes that there were fans like me that for some reason loved the 98 Godzilla but wasn't crazy about this. That like, there's diehard fans that's not crazy about this trilogy because of the drastic changes and the fact that, you know, it's an entire trilogy of films. That's about an hour and a half long a piece, so you're looking at like 4.5 hours worth of stuff, and there's hardly no kaiju fighting each other. But then you also have the demographic that was, they love anime, they didn't sign up for the kaiju versus kaiju, they just wanted to see a good story. And to an extent, you could say that yes, it does have a good story. I just wish that there was more fighting. That's just my own personal opinion. So I believe that's the demographic that they were aiming at whenever they made this trilogy. And it kind of succeeded, but it also kind of alienated some of their more diehard fans. And then Godzilla Singular Point rolls around. And again, more big changes were made, but they did include a little bit of kaiju versus kaiju, as well as Jet Jaguar versus kaiju. And it was, Singular Point is kind of, you know, it's kind of about the same. It's in the middle. Like, I don't understand. This is one thing that I don't understand whenever it comes to Toho. It's like, and I'm not bad-mouthing them at all. I genuinely want to know, like, what their mindset is. Because you see the changes that they make, like, the drastic changes that they make in the Godzilla anime trilogy, Godzilla Singular Point, as well as Shin Godzilla. Now, I love Shin Godzilla. You guys know that. But there's some drastic changes in that as well. All three of these properties were very polarizing to the fans. Some of them love them, whichever property that may be. Some of them love them, but then there are others that despise them. And 9 times out of 10, the reason why people despise them is you listen to the complaints, and it's because of the drastic changes that were made. But then Toho will turn around and for like an anniversary, you know, they release a traditional Suitmation short video of Final Goji fighting Hedorah. Then they do the same thing for Gigan, Final Goji versus a traditional Showa era looking Gigan. And both of those short videos were praised by the fan base. Loved it. The fights were good. Thanks for bringing back these fan favorite monsters and all that kind of stuff. Like they legitimately loved them. And so I'm hoping that Toho kind of can see what's going to happen with this new Godzilla film that's coming out, that change isn't always for the better. Different isn't always for the better. I get that it's been around since 1954. There are going to have to be changes that are made, you know? Like, you have to evolve the character. You have to evolve the franchise. Superman is a great example of a character that has changed tremendously over the years. That's been around since the late 30s, when initially, whenever he first showed up, he couldn't even fly. You know what I mean? And you look at him now, compared to his golden age counterpart, they could almost be argued, other than in name being Superman, they could almost be two entirely different characters. But I get that you have to change, you have to evolve. But change it for the better, you know, in my opinion. It's just like, to me, like I would legitimately want to know, like if I ever ran a company and the whole basis of my company was two giant monsters fighting each other, or multiple monsters fighting each other, and then a pitch gets made and one of my subordinates underneath me pretty much goes down the pipeline and says, we don't want any monsters fighting each other in this next trilogy that we're going to do. I'm going to look at that person and be, have you lost your mind? That's literally what put us on the map, was monsters fighting each other, you know, other than the original film and all that, and a few others here and there, but the original film didn't involve two monsters fighting. But it's just like, you know, I don't know. I have a love-hate relationship with this trilogy. I very much enjoy the first film. The third film, I'm not a fan of. The second film, I'm kind of in the middle. So, if I was to rate it overall, out of like 1 to 10, I would give it about a 5. Because as far as I'm concerned, part 1 is a 10. Part 3 is a 0. Like, part 2 is about a 5. So, take the average, you know, that's about where I'm at. I'm about right in the middle, about a 5. But I don't know. I do enjoy the designs of the monsters that were in this. I like the design of Mechagodzilla, not really that we saw in the film, but there is, I'm very close to ordering it. There's on Big Bad Toy Store, there's a pre-order that you can do that's basically Mechagodzilla throughout the years and all that, and you get the original Mechagodzilla and then Mechagodzilla from the Terror of Mechagodzilla, and then Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2, then Godzilla Against Mechagodzilla, the Tokyo SOS, and then the Mechagodzilla from this, and their figures. And you actually get to see what Mechagodzilla looked like before he became, like, the city. Like, what he would have looked like if he was actually, like, a bipedal, you know, creature that would have fought Godzilla or something like that. And it's a figure of it. Just a stationary, you know, kind of like a statue or something like that. And you get all those figures. They look good. They look great. Very awesome details and all that. And the price is a little bit hefty, but it's only for a pre-order right now, so I may pre-order it. Not entirely sure. But, yeah. That's probably what I'm going to do. But, yeah. So that pretty much does it for... Well, hang on. Let me get back to the designs. I like the design of Mechagodzilla in his bipedal form, not necessarily the city form that we got in the film. The little flying creatures that fly around, I can't think of their names right now, but those are pretty cool designs for some monsters and all that. You guys know I love Godzilla Earth, one of my all-time favorite designs for Big G. Yeah, not crazy about Ghidorah. Like, overall story is good. Execution, I just think, could have been better. And yeah, that's pretty much all I've got to say about Godzilla the Planet Eater / Godzilla the Anime Trilogy. So, alrighty, guys, that pretty much does it. You know, I wish I had more to talk about specifically about this movie, but just I couldn't find hardly any information on it, so I just decided to use this episode to really wrap up the trilogy as a whole and how I feel about it and all of that stuff. If you like it, if you enjoy the trilogy, more power to you. Art is subjective. What one person cannot stand, somebody else, it's perfectly logical for them to love it. I mean, that's just all it is to it. But statistically, with the billions of people that's in this world, nobody is going to love everything. And unfortunately, I'm just one of the people that is not super crazy about this trilogy overall, just like I was not super crazy about Shin Ultraman. And hopefully I will enjoy Shin Kamen Rider. But I've watched a few scenes of Shin Kamen Rider, like online. It's very violent. It's very brutal. It's very bloody. So just going ahead and throwing that out there. I've read from numerous reviews that have people that's watched the movie. It is not child friendly. Like, it's very violent and very, very bloody. Just throwing that out there. So hopefully I'll enjoy Shin Kamen Rider. I like the Kamen Rider franchise more than the Ultraman franchise. And so, you know, we'll see how that goes. So, alrighty guys, that pretty much does it for the Godzilla anime trilogy. Next Saturday, a week from today, I'm going to be wrapping up the Rebirth of Mothra trilogy. And I'm going to be talking about the Rebirth of Mothra 3. And, you know, I'll have more positive things to say about this film, as well as very positive things to say about that particular version of Ghidorah and that particular version of Mothra. I'm quite fond of that film. So, yeah, you guys are going to hear me complain a lot less in that next episode and all of that. And also keep in mind, always, you know, on Wednesdays that I will be posting the weekly Kaiju Havoc for any news and updates that are going on in the kaiju world. Check me out on all of my social medias. On Facebook, I'm Kaiju Carnage, Godzilla / King Kong Podcast. I have a Godzilla Ultimate fan page, and on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, I am Cal the Kaiju Guy. So, alrighty guys, this has been the Godzilla anime trilogy. If you enjoy the films, more power to you. If you don't, welcome to the club. You know, at the end of the day, we're all Godzilla fans, we're all kaiju fans, and we can get along despite whether we like or dislike certain entries into this franchise. So, alrighty guys, thank you all for everything that you do. Please go subscribe to my YouTube. I'm currently at 320 subscribers, and I've got like 2 or 3 new videos out and all of that. They're unboxing videos, so go check those out and support them. I would very much appreciate it. So, alrighty guys. We'll catch y'all next Saturday for the Rebirth of Mothra 3. This is Cal the Kaiju Guy, signing out.